Hello everyone. My name is Karthik Bharti, and in today's session we'll be talking about B2B collaboration on Windows Azure BizTalk services. This session goes deeper into the B2B aspects of BizTalk services. How many of you attended the session earlier today in the morning on Windows Azure BizTalk services? Perfect, okay. So some of the demos that you will see will go deeper into the, some of the concepts we saw earlier in the day. For those of you who are attending this session for the first time, please feel free to stop me or ask me questions wherever things are a bit hazy or where I kind of assume that you have the background. So in the next 60 to 75 minutes, we'll cover a whole set of demos. We have about 5 to 6 demos. So I will fairly keep it at a faster pace, and feel free to make it interactive. I usually like questions as we progress along. Okay. So the key objectives and takeaways from this session, one, you already know that BizTalk services on Azure is in public preview, so you can sign up today and try the functionalities, the whole EAI and the B2B functionalities. Of that, B2B is a key scenario on BizTalk services. We are re-emphasizing the fact that the whole trading partner management capabilities that was there or is also there in BizTalk server is kind of enhanced in the Azure offering. We also have partners going live on the platform. Earlier in the day, you heard about Codit as one of the partners who went live on BizTalk services. So this session in particular, we delve deeper into the what and why of B2B capabilities on Azure. Okay, so let's start with the basics, right? Let's set the context on what is B2B. Before we get into it, just quick show of hands, how many of you do B2B in your day-to-day business today? Okay, quite a few of you. And of that, B2B, how many of the transactions are actually EDI-based? You know, X12, Edifact? Okay, looks like all of those on B2B are EDI customers. Okay, so what is B2B, right? So B2B is all about one partner entering into a trading partner agreement with another partner, and that could be in one company, or it could be across several different business units within the same company forming trading partner agreements with other companies, right? So quick example is, you know, the partner could be anywhere across the globe, right? I mean, I've indicated that with the P's in the diagram. So you could have North America talking to someone in, Canada. There can be a customer in South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, you name it. You can have, there is no geographic limitation per se when it comes to establishing the trading partner agreement. Interestingly, there are two aspects to the whole nature of the agreement, right? The first, the agreement happens at a business level. So there's obviously a relationship that says, yes, I'm going to service your purchase orders, for some clothing or some perfume by such and such a date. That's at a technical level, that at the business level. Then that translates into the technical level agreement wherein you say, oh, yes, if you're going to service the purchase orders, then how are you going to establish the nitty-gritties of what goes into that message, what's the format of the message, what kind of acknowledgments you accept, what is defined as a test message versus what is actually a production message, by when do you need to reply back, what happens in case of an error. So there are various possibilities that come in when you look at the technical side of the agreement. The B2B capabilities that we are talking today addresses all of the technical capabilities. So, and we'll see that in the various demos. So with those capabilities, you can address a complete end-to-end solution using the PaaS offering. Any questions at this point? All right. Okay. So now that we know what B2B is, so B2B is all about partners, agreements, and the agreements between those partners is partnerships, right? Just kind of stepping back, we are calling out that B2B is one of the biggest workloads on BizTalk server, and there's a whole set of industries that we cater to, you know, be it healthcare with HIPAA and HL7, banking with SWIFT, manufacturing, retail, you can have X12 Edifact, insurance, you can have XML messaging, there's automotive, education, chemical industry with Sidex, there's oil and gas with Pydex, you know, energy, whole set of industries. And you can have those protocols supported on BizTalk server today. And in fact, BizTalk server 2013 itself, if you had attended the earlier presentation, contains a host of B2B improvements, right from schema updates to some performance improvements on HL7 and whatnot, right? So what we are trying to do is have those set of enhancements in BizTalk server, and we are also saying that, hey, there is a BizTalk PaaS offering with B2B capabilities, and slowly, depending on your organization scenario, whether you would want to do native EAI with B2B on cloud, which is more hybrid, or you would want to do a greenfield application with complete B2B on cloud, you can mix and match your offering, and you have the end-to-end solution in place. Okay, so this kind of lays the ground on what is the opportunity for in cloud for B2B, right? So let me quickly. Yeah, so the first one is it lowers onboarding cost. How and why is the whole notion of creation of an agreement is just one phase of the entire process, right? You would first set up the agreement, you would send test messages, and today you probably would call up your partner and say, hey, is everything set up? Now I'm sending a test message. There's a whole bunch of handshake that happens to have that relationship in place. And that itself, it goes about in weeks. And with the cloud, the pitch is that it will definitely lower the onboarding cost. We'll look at that in a demo. Support for self-service. The object model in the cloud is actually public. So you're not restricted to use the management portal that we exposed today. You can write your own custom UI. If you already have your business processes defined using, let's say, SharePoint, you can have SharePoint hook into the training partner management OM, and you can expose that SharePoint interface to your customers, and you can have the agreement being modified by your customers as a self-service model, as opposed to you engaging in that updates each time there is a process change. Address impedance mismatch, that's more at the BizTalk service level, where you try to mismatch the data at the format level, at the protocol level, at the transport level, and so on and so forth, to ensure that two parties can talk to each other. Business analytics is interesting. We expose the data model for tracking, so you can select properties or you can choose to extract messages, the entire raw payload, and be able to do business analytics. Elastic scale, managed infrastructure, HA, and increased reach are functionality and benefits derived out of Azure itself. The increased reach is a bit interesting, where you can host your services on Azure, and it's easily discoverable, right? If you have defined your own self-service process, the endpoint and the messaging is visible to the external world, thereby increasing reach. Any questions? All right. So what were our customers asking, right? When we were building this product, the bunch of asks that kind of tie back to the opportunity that cloud has to offer, right? Is there a possibility that we can reduce our transaction cost by 20 to 50%, right? In essence, we want to reduce our onboarding cost from a matter of weeks, which is like the whole agreement creation, testing, and all of that, and reduce it to a matter of days. Can you provide out-of-the-box capabilities like archiving? You know, I would be able to support scenarios like NRR, where whenever I receive an invoice, I'm required to send an MDN back to my customer. So when there is an audit that happens in my company, I know for sure that I can show this archived message and say, hey, yes, there was an MDN process, and therefore I can claim that I received or processed that message in my system. Ease of management for certificates. This came out from a bunch of enterprise customers. If you've tried out AS2 with certificates, you probably know what I'm talking, right? The whole notion of installing a cert, figuring out whether you select a group level cert at a Bistock server level, or it's you know, unless you've done it once, twice, thrice, you wouldn't even know how to get it right the first time for AS2. It is complex, but there's a benefit to it. And what we have done in the service world is to simplify that whole process. You can just browse and upload and enter your password certificate in one go. And with that, we also show the password, the certificate expiration date. So in case you have a process in place where you do a handshake with your partner, that process is simpler. Simplify TPM configuration setup, again, echoes the previous point. Plus, if you've used the admin console to create an agreement, you're probably going to touch four settings as defaults, which are required, and another 40 settings if you're really a professional in knowing what you're doing with EDIFACT and X12, right? Some of those usability-related improvements have been enhanced, so the wizard itself, there's a small wizard that runs in the Bistock services portal. I'll bring it up in a minute, but the intent is to simplify the setup experience. And finally, be able to build a self-service solution. I'll leave that for the demo. The demo will speak for itself on how that can be achieved. Okay, so who are we building this for? Yes, we know that there are a bunch of asks. We know what are the opportunities. Who are we building this for? The first and biggest set of customers we are building for is the service providers. You heard about Codit here. And back in Europe, we had another partner, Nimbo, who was talking about how they used EDI. The model is simple, right? As a service provider, the goal is you talk to a set of suppliers, and the suppliers don't understand EDI. They do their traditional formats like CSV, text, or XML. It's mostly information which is unstructured. As a service provider, you take in those changes and canonicalize into a format that you specify. And on the other hand, to your retailer and manufacturer, you actually talk EDI. And in the process, you use the Bistock services with EDI, and you can send and receive EDI messages to the retailer, right? The other model is using Bistock services for enterprises and SIs, right? So as an enterprise, you would have an in-house IT investment, right? So you have the organizational capability to say, I process and understand EDI, right? So what you, in many sense, you actually dictate terms to the suppliers on the other end and say that, hey, I'm going to use this particular format. This is the way I accept acts. These are a set of messages that need to be badged. This is my service window. I accept messages only on Friday, and so on. You would have your own specification. And all your, like in this case, distributors connect to you, establish that whole trading partner relationship, agreements, testing, and all of that, and have your agreement in place. An extension to this model is when you're actually talking to a VAN, right? So some of your partners might come to you and say, hey, yes, I can talk to you EDI, but you know, that problem itself is being done by my WAN provider. Can you have your enterprise talk to the WAN instead of directly talking to me? And the WAN does the you know, handshake of converting that to another format, I understand. That is possible. So again, we have a sweet demo for showcasing how that's possible. Any questions? Yeah, there is one. Oh, okay. So WAN is a value-added network. So think of, so traditionally, if you rewind how B2B was 10 years ago, you had these big, large groups called WANs, and they would take a hefty fee in setting up a trading partner relationship. They would establish that for you. They would have a particular endpoint that's exposed. And typically, it's a mailboxing solution, so you would get an Outlook-like inbox where you send and receive EDI messages as opposed to emails, and that would be hosted by the WANs. And it's a hosting solution that then they talk to the other partners. The main challenge with using WANs, now that we're on that topic, is WANs charge a very hefty fee. And many cases, I've come across WANs which are pretty much old school, and they are like 10-year-old technology, which is still in place. We'll also be looking at some of the migration aspects in our presentation today, and I'll touch upon how some of that pain can be moved in. So you could look at saying that, hey, I am using a van today. Is it possible that I move to Bistock services? Answer is yes, that can be done. Any other questions? Okay. All right, so this is a quick summary. You must have seen this slide in many other different presentations. So this is at a higher level, right? So we are summarizing what's there in Windows Azure Bistock services. Obviously, we haven't gone deeper into the B2B aspects, which we will in a moment. But this calls out the different pillars, and again, this was covered earlier in the presentation today, in the previous presentation. Okay, so we need to push the needle, right? Now we're saying that, hey, yeah, B2B, this is good. Like, what are we trying to do? So at the outset, we have a set of existing benefits that we reap from using the stock server. So you have the capability of an agreement object model, although not public. You have the set of protocols defined in server. You can integrate with the EA application. There's a notion of agreement templates, which can be reused across multiple configuration. There is batching. There's ACK correlation. Whole bunch of stuff. So yes, that's the existing benefit that I can reap from even Bistock server today. There's a whole notion of cloud benefits that I talked about earlier. So you can have a config-driven experience. It's a managed service, dedicated. The OM object model is exposed. There's a web-based configuration portal. And then there is rich tracking. We look at demos for all of this. So there is existing benefits and cloud benefits. All I have to do is just do 1 plus 1, and I actually get 11. So there's a whole lot of leverage that happens when you use B2B on Windows Azure Bistock services. So now that we know what B2B is, now let's go deeper into saying, hey, okay, what is B2B on Windows Azure Bistock services? We call out saying that, hey, it's not as complicated as playing chess, but it's as simple as playing checkers. You just play it on the same board, but it's a much simpler game. It's not like you're climbing a mountain. It's like you're having an escalator to go to reach the destination, right? It's not as complicated as this. Anyone solve this? Okay. So it's not as complex as this differentiation, but what we're saying is it's integration, and it's as simple as this. So this is the exact equation that I laid out above. So it's a whole lot of simplicity that's kicking in. Right. The point being that B2B in Windows Azure Bistock services is all about making B2B simple. And that's the goal of the first goal of having such a service being available on the cloud, right? Again, to drive home the point, it's not as simple as driving a cycle. Any idea what's coming next? Oh, I could have put an Aston Martin. Yeah, so I just heard that Azure developers get an Aston Martin, so I could have put that picture. It's not as simple as a cat. Any idea what's coming next? Okay, I see a lot of smiles, so you probably guessed it. Yeah, it's as powerful as a tiger, right? Again, the point being that once you have B2B on Windows Azure Bistock services, it's all about making B2B powerful. So it's no longer that, hey, you have to deal with something that's really complex, yeah, with powerful, it's added complexity, none of that. It's very simple, and you also get the powerfulness of the configuration. So just a summary saying that, hey, B2B on Bistock services is simple, and it's powerful, right? Just to drive home the point, we'll have a demo, and we'll show how you can connect to GXS, which is a van, and you can use Bistock services to send and receive messages. Okay. Let me switch screens. So let me launch the Bistock portal. How many of you have seen this Bistock portal? Okay, not bad, like a good number of you. So this is the manageability interface for managing your Bistock artifacts, bridges, looking at your tracking data, and B2B partners and agreements. Loosely put, although not quite an exact match, think of this as the admin console vNext. I'm just trying to draw a parallel saying that, hey, that those configurations are available in admin console for BizTalk server. Some of this is lit up in the BizTalk portal for the services piece, right? So I have a set of partners that I can manage. A partner is an entity with which you create an agreement. So an agreement is comprised of partners, and every partner has a profile, right? And profiles are where, think of profiles as your business units within your company, and every profile can have its own identity, the sender receiver pair, a certificate that vouches for how you sign your message or encrypt your message. And you can also build templates like you did in BizTalk server, right? And for every two partners, you can define agreements. You have X12 agreements and you have AS2. It's the nature of format is different. AS2 is more at the transport level. So what I have is an AS2 agreement. I'll just get to that in a minute. And I also have bridges. If you have attended the session in the morning, you can see that whatever bridges you deploy from Visual Studio, you have that listed here, and you will be able to view the details or even delete those bridges. Right. Then we have resources. Resources are what you use to support your bridge configuration. So you have set of schemas, their XML doc type, the transforms that you uploaded as part of VS or as part of the agreement configuration. The set of certificates you're using, note that there is a expiry date that's being shown, and the set of assemblies. If you're writing custom code, you would have to upload your DLLs into the resources/artifact store. Right? Then there is tracking. So the tracking data is interesting. So you have tracking for all of the bridges. So it's a single pane of glass for EAI tracking, EDI tracking. And if you know the protocol, you can actually go deeper into the protocol, select if it's X12 or AS2. And there is also tracking for the batching. Like if you're, there can be an active batch or a completed batch. And if there's an active batch, you can know that, hey, this is batch configuration. How many messages are being held in a batch? So it's fairly intuitive. So what I'm going to use is primarily AS2. So let me open that agreement. The agreement is between Microsoft and GXS. This is, in some sense, this is a live demo because you have GXS actually up and running somewhere on the internet. And this is a Microsoft endpoint that we have established on the cloud, right? So as part of the agreement, I have enabled my send settings. The sender is Microsoft, receive settings, which is GXS. I've turned on tracking on both the sides, send and receive sides. Again, my receive setting is whenever I receive a message from GXS, this is the URL they would have to send the message to, assuming that has been communicated. The protocol, how the message would be signed and encrypted. So in this case, whenever I receive a message, I'm expecting the message to be signed. And where should the message be routed to? In this case, I'm pushing the message to a relay service with some binding, right? And then when I'm sending the message, I send the message to my internal endpoint, which is this. Then the message payload gets encrypted using some DES algorithm, and the certificate is actually what has been provided by GXS. So it's the public key of GXS. I'm using signing because that's a requirement from GXS. And I'm saying that, hey, I do require acknowledgments back. For every message that I send them, I need to get an acknowledgment from them, and that message should be assigned MDN, right? And transport, this is where I'm going to send the message to. Just a quick check. Yeah, GXS is up, right? So this is their endpoint where they're listening for AS2 messages. Is the setup clear? Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the send settings, go to the inbound URI. There is a message that I can push to. I'll go to my message sender application. This is the same one that we've shipped in the samples. So I'm going to go to program.cs. I already have the endpoint here. It's the same agreement 9 send. There you go. What I'm sending is a text/plain. And I'm sending data input.text. So I can actually send a test message, right? It is a test message. This test message is going to be wrapped as a payload. This is a plain text message. I'll wrap it using my AS2 envelopes, send it to JXS, right? So before I do that, let me just go to the tracking view. I'll make sure that there's no other new entry, so we can look at the messages as they are. So there's some entry on 25th, which was my dry run as of yesterday. So no new entries. So I can go back to my Visual Studio, and I run this project. Right. So I'm just publishing a message to that endpoint. I have the prereq ACS tokens, pushing the message out. Probably takes like a minute. Yeah, it's done. So the message was sent successfully. That's the tracking ID I get. It's fairly too big, so I'll leave that open window open. I'll go back here, refresh. Hopefully, I should have heard a response back from GXS. They were supposed to send me an MDN back. Once my tracking data is loaded, let me go to protocol, AS2. Not yet. So it takes a while because it's actually connecting to the servers of GXS, and we are expecting a response back into the cloud. Let me do another refresh. So what I can do is once I get the message, I can download that message and show you that it was indeed accepted. Okay, so it has come through, right? You can see that 26.6. Whatever would be the date. This date is my local time, which apparently is in a different time zone from where I come from. So I see that MS Tech at GXS, the message has been accepted. But let me go into the details, right? I want to actually make sure that that was the message I sent. So once I click on the details, I can download the MDN, right? Let me download the MDN onto my desktop. Let's give it a name. And save, right? So I'm just downloading the MDN. If you're particular about what you sent, you can also say outgoing encoded or decoded message before you encrypted or signed the message. And you can actually view the payload. Let me go to my desktop, Madrid MDN. There you go. So bunch of stuff that GXS has responded back with saying, yeah, this, that, and all. But the essence is it's not a guarantee that the message has been read because it's still at the transport level. I've got an ACK. They would probably process the internal message and give back the response depending on how the internal agreement, whether it was an X12 or an AS2. This one is an SMIME message. It's all encrypted, which is of less interest to me from a text perspective, so I'll leave that there. So in a nutshell, what you're seeing is we are actually talking to GXS in a matter of like seconds, right? All you need is like a message sender app. Once you have created your endpoints, you know the GXS URL, you pretty much have a live system that's up and running and talking to GXS. That in essence is the simplicity that I was mentioning earlier. There was a question. Can you speak up? I'm not able to. Okay. Right. Yeah, so the question is, hey, what is happening in the back end, right? Yeah, it did work, but what is happening in the back end? So in essence, Message Sender is my client application. This is running locally on my desktop, right? Or it could be running in a web role, work role. Doesn't matter. All you need is someone, a partner who can send a message, right? And in my agreement configuration, let me go back to that AS2 agreement. I have defined what my send setting is, right? And each of this one receive settings and one set settings creates a bridge of its own. So there is one bridge created for sending a message, one bridge created for receiving a message every time I deploy an agreement. So there are two bridges per agreement, right? So what I did, I used the send URL. So I pump my messages to my, from my message sender to this URL, which is what you saw. Which is what you saw here. This is the same URL. So the message goes into my protocol stage, and it says, oh, you're sending a message to GXS. You need to have a signature using this certificate. You need to encrypt the message using this certificate. And it also indicates in the AS2 that you're expecting a reply back. And it pumps the message to this URL. So you're sending a live message to GXS. And what comes back is an MDN on this receive setting, because my receive setting was already part of my message. It comes here. I process it, and I route it. It goes to my relay. But in the process, I have captured my message using archiving and tracking. So I can go back to my tracking page and be able to download the message. That's exactly what happened. Question? Yeah. Is the question on whether we can transform this message as it goes through? Yeah. So the example I showed was AS2. AS2 is a transport protocol, so there is no message processing interaction that happens. In the next demo that I have, I have a flow where I actually use a transform in between, and it shows how you can use a map to convert the format. I'll get to that in a minute. Any other question? Okay, so that's the first demo, right, that shows the simplicity of the platform to be able to connect to other systems. So the next claim that we make is, hey, B2B is all about making, B2B on Windows Azure BizTalk services is all about making B2B extensible. Now, you might wonder, yes, I did mention about OM API, but that's at an application level. How do you actually use a real-world application, right? So now let's get to that second demo. The second demo is I'm going to create a partner and agreement. You saw the portal where I have an option to create an agreement. I'm not going to use that. I'm going to use SharePoint. I have a SharePoint online app, and I'm going to create a partner and agreement using SharePoint online. It's a partner self-service solution, right? Let's go back to the demo machine and see what I mean, right? So here I have a way to create partners, and there's like five or six partners in here, six partners, right? So the way I would do is I'd create add partner, enter a bunch of settings, and say save, right? That's typically how it works. When I go to agreements, I can say add agreement, enter the whole set of details for X12, deploy, and I create an agreement. That's how things work for an agreement. What I have is the SharePoint application. Think of this SharePoint application as something that you would expose to your customers. So they don't have to directly interact with the BizTalk portal, create their own agreements. It's a much more simplified interface that's integrated with your business, right? So we have a simple training partner onboarding list. This is backed by SharePoint workflows at the back end, so there is an approval process. Not every agreement can be created, so there's probably someone who looks at this request and says, approved, now the partner can be self-serviced. So what I'm going to do is fill in the interface. Say I'm a supplier. This is TechCAD EU Madrid. I'll leave the defaults, and this says Microsoft. And then there is protocol. I'm going to create X12. 5010 is fine. And my ID is Madrid. This is my DUNS ID for my X12 transport. Let me do AS2. My ID, I can give any AS2 ID. Come back to encryption. No, I don't need encryption. If I do, I would probably have to upload a cert. Functional ACK is required, but not MDN. I'll leave that defaults. and I say, okay, let me do purchase order and invoice, right? It's a simple application, right? I didn't even have to worry about my send settings, receive settings. And I submit my request, right? What happens at the back end, so it triggers off a nice workflow. And for now, I auto-approve all the requests, which is probably not like a good production thing to do. But then it says here, the workflow should have started. Yeah, there you see that new partner workflow for TechEDU Madrid has been started. So what happens at the back end, it's a very fairly simple workflow, right? I just send a mail, you know, I just log in the details, I send a mail to myself saying, hey, there's someone requesting, fill in a bunch of details from the request and call a service to create the training partner, but I use the object model to create that information, right? Let me refresh one more time to make sure that it's complete. Okay, new partner workflow is complete, response code is accepted, so it means that if I go back to my partners, if I go back to the list of trading partners, I should be able to see the new partner, right? There you go. So you should see TechEDU Madrid being created here, right here. So that's not all. It's not just about creating a partner which was approved. It's also about creating an agreement for that partner, right? Point to note, in this case, I assume that the partner, which is me, is Fabricam, right? And the partner that I'm connecting to, the guy who filled in all the details in the SharePoint online, is TechEDU Madrid, right? So if I go to my agreements page, notice that the hosted partner is Fabricam, which is me, and guest partner is TechEDU Madrid, so the guy, again me, but the guy who filled in the details for TechEDU Madrid, right? So I can open this agreement. You should see some of the details I keyed in. There you go. So the X12 ID that you created in Madrid is all loaded there. You can tweak this configuration. So in some sense, if your IT operator, as a business administrator, you might you would have approved the request, but then your IT operator can go look at the agreement, make changes to the setting, and then finally deploy the agreement. Right. So this kind of illustrates the extensibility of the platform. Right. I don't have to use this portal. I can integrate external tools like SharePoint, or even there are a bunch of other tools. I can create my own ASP.NET application. You know, the possibilities are endless, right? You can have that integrated into the system. What is the interface for? Oh, yeah, okay. So the question is, what is the interface I'm using to enable the scenario? So I will actually show another demo where I have the object model defined. In a nutshell, the object model API, the whole model of trading partner relationship is actually exposed as an API. So you can use PowerShell, you can use C#, you can actually connect to the object model and create your relationships based on whatever is your front end. Right. So this illustrates the extensibility of the platform. Any other questions? Oh, you had the same question? Okay. Yeah, I have another demo for migration wherein I use the object model yet again, but then I'll talk through how I actually use that object model in this demo as well. Okay, so yeah, that's coming up next. Existing investments, right? So the first question everyone would ask is, hey, I already have existing investments. You know, it can be BizTalk server. You did show a lot of good features and capabilities on the services world. How do I leverage that, right? There are two ways. One, you can use a hybrid model like EAI on-premise with B2B on cloud, or you could have a greenfield app like I mentioned earlier where you have the full cloud application running on the PaaS offering, right? Which also means that you have your existing data. There needs to be a way where you take that data and move it to cloud using a tool, right? So we'll look at a tool that that can migrate your agreement partner and agreement data from BizTalk server into BizTalk services. That's one demo. And we also have migration from other platforms, like Gentran, for example. Anyone using Gentran in your environment today? Okay. So Gentran has various flavors, right? You know, the one that internally we are using, MSIT had this whole legacy thing, which they're actually migrating at the moment, is based on Gentran. And the whole disadvantage, in some sense, is it uses a legacy format. If you look at the maps of Gentran, it's actually a text file. It's a flat file which says, how do you map the node A, B, and it's a complete text format which is hard to interpret and maintain, right? And some of the functionality that's there in BizTalk services, like batching and good tracking, is missing in the Gentran world. So you would want to retain the agreement and partner data, and possibly even the transforms. You would want to extract that definitions and move them into the services world, which kind of reduces the pain on saying, yeah, how do I move away from Gentran, right? So that's the second demo that we would be showing today. Any questions on the two? Okay. Okay, so we'll look at the two demos on migration, one from BizTalk and the other from Gentran. Let me go back. So for this demo, I have an IaaS VM running on the cloud, and this is my BizTalk server, 2010 IaaS, running on IaaS, right? So let me bring up my admin console. So it's fairly simple. I have two partners, or they're called parties. So and each party has a business profile, right? And what I have done is, for these two parties, I have defined two agreements. One X12 agreement, which is this. I've specified a set of sender IDs and receiver IDs. If you look at the identifiers, it's just BTS party 1 and 2. Similarly, I have created an AS2 agreement, right? And the identifiers are AS2 party 1, party 2, right? So all my definitions are in BizTalk server. What we are shipping is an agreement migration tool. So this is fairly new, you know, it's right out of the developer's box. In some sense, we'll be shipping this in the next few weeks, so bear with me if you suddenly see an exception that says, yeah, not supported. So, yeah. So the wizard itself is fairly intuitive. In a matter of steps, a few steps, you can have your data migrated. So it starts off by, you know, connecting to the BizTalk server. So I need to specify where my server is. It's running on this machine. I've launched the tool on the same machine. You can run it on a different machine as well, but you would need some SSO instrumentation because some of the TPM data actually resides within Ent-SSO. So I've keyed in the server details, and I need to connect to my BizTalk Management DB. Use Windows authentication. My auth is fine. Click Next. Then it asks the converse. Now, yeah, I got the source, but where is the destination? The destination is the same as the one that I'm showing right here, which is this, right? So there are no partners here at the moment, right? The server, BizTalk, BTS server 1 or server 2, those partners are not there. I'll go back to my VM. I need to key in my deployment URL. This is where my BizTalk deployment is hosted. You know, folks from the morning session can recall that this is the URL that's generated once I deploy my BizTalk server, right? So there's one that I have. I also need the ACS credentials because I'm talking to the endpoint where my object model is exposed on the cloud. Again, this is... So I'm going to key in the ACS credentials. Type this in, and say next, right? So what it's going to do is it's going to read the metadata from BizTalk server, and it should list the set of partners which are available on the server today. So I want to migrate both because there are two agreements associated with that. Let me select server 1 and server 2. Click next. So it starts to migrate. It fetches all the configuration, each partner and the set of profiles, business profiles under the partner. and it recreates them on Azure. Once I see a check, yeah, there you go, the first and the second, yeah. So my parties have been created. Quick check on my partner side. Let me refresh this. You should see 8, 9. So, there you go. Yeah, the eighth one was probably the mattered one. So the BizTalk server party 1 and server party 2. So the parties have been created. But if I look at the agreements, I don't have any agreements. Neither do I have X12, nor is there AS2, right? So it's still 2 on 1, 3. So let me go back to my wizard. Say, okay, this is good. Click Next. And it says, okay, then it does another discovery saying, oh, for the parties you migrated, these are the agreements that reside on a BizTalk server. So that's good. So let me check both. I want to migrate both the agreements. Click Next. Then it does the same, but this is slightly more involved, right? Because with each X12, there is a send and receive direction with its protocol settings. What is my ACK setting? What is my format and all of that? So it takes roughly the same time. I haven't measured this, but it's fairly quick. So both the parties and the agreements are being migrated. Summary is good. 2 of 2 migrated. I can close the wizard. We also plan to have a migration log. So just in case if things go wrong, you can always refer to the trace log and see if there are any errors. This is good. I can go back to my agreement view, click refresh, and I should see one X12 agreement. Yeah, BizTalk party 2 to party 1. That is my X12 agreement. If I go to AS2, I should see my BizTalk party 2 party 1 AS2 agreement. This is the same definition that was in the BizTalk server. Note that AS2 party 1, party 2, which was what was used. And for X12, it should be, yeah, BTS party 2, party 1, the same settings that was there on the server side. So again, the tool will be shipped in a few months from now. And using that, you can move your settings. Yep, question. I'm sorry? Yeah. Oh, okay. So the receive settings for AS2, go here, click on this. Receive settings for AS2. Yeah. I'm sorry? Yeah, so good point. So the question is, what are you doing with certificates? Right now, we migrate the settings and not the certificates because certificate requires us from a server side to be able to access a different path. That's a manual step, but we could improvise the tool to have certificates incorporated. It's not a big task. Yeah. Follow up? Okay. So the question is, yeah, you showed 2010, but what about 2009, 2006 R2 and previous version? Right now, we plan to support only 2010. If you are looking at previous versions, there are enough tools within BizTalk server that help you migrate to the 2010 model. And then once you're in the 2010 model, you can pump it into the services LAN. But if there is a high enough ask, yeah, it's not difficult to have that. It's the management DB that we're looking at. So it can be done. Yeah, question. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so if... if you look at the... yes, so that's a good point. So the question is, hey, the receive settings, I would have a URL that is there on my BizTalk server, and there's another endpoint, which is a services URL, which you would create. Therefore, the two will be different. You would not use my server settings. Is true, but the way you would solve the problem is the feature that we saw with custom domains, right? The URL that you expose to your partner is www.mycompany.com/edi/as2. Let's say that's your URL. So when you create your services deployment, you'll use the same URL, and you would upload the certificate in the services. So what URL lights up on services is still the URL with the same path, and your URL here that you create in AS2 will be the same. So that's how you get around the problem. Okay. So let me go back to the deck. We talked about BizTalk Server. So let's look at the Gentran demo as well. Before I switch to the slides, I'll show the Gentran demo. So let me open the... migration app. This is a simple app that I wrote using the OM API. Let me talk through the setup. So I have a Gentran DB, right? And the Gentran DB contains a bunch of partners, right? It contains a bunch of partners. This is data that I gathered from one of the Gentran machines that we use in our IT, and then, of course, modified it into the SQL Express that I'm running on my local laptop. So think of this as a connection string into the SQL database. I'm going to migrate this guy, the first partner, Arvato, right? And this bunch of settings that they expose, set of versions, transactions, their messaging, sender ID, receiver ID, whatnot, right? They have... it's more of a compressed format in one row, right? That's maybe the way Gentran wishes to store it. So what I have is my migration app is going to connect to my SQL Express, make a set of queries, get the partners, get the agreement data per partner. So I store it. I store all of their agreement settings. And I have a TPM utility, right? So this is also available as a sample. So if you go to MSDN Code Gallery, search for BizTalk Services, OM API sample, you should be able to get a similar one, right? So in that, I have code to create partners. Essentially, I add a service reference to my object model. So there's a way you connect to the object model service reference. Essentially, it's your URL/$ dollar partner, I can show you the right. Yeah, it will be /default/$partner-management. So your deployment with appended with default/$partner-management is your OM API URL. You add a service reference to that, and then you can start creating partner object. It's essentially WCF data services. So if you're familiar with WCF data service programming model, this should be very familiar to you. Right. So, and what I'm doing is in my data services contract, I'm just creating the partner object, adding it to my TPM context, and creating a profile, just appending the partner name with _profile for simplicity, and then context.save changes. Of course, I also have business profiles. I do a bunch of links, right? If you're familiar with the WCF data service model, there's set link and add link to establish the 1:N, N:M kind of relationship within the object model. So I have one partner with N profiles, so I have 1:N relationship, which is what this code is trying to do, right? So I have this in place, and there's fairly detailed create agreement, which creates the business identities. I wouldn't go in deeper into this. The OM API sample on the web explains all of the create agreement, right? So let me go back to the agreement. Notice that there's no other agreement. I'm probably going to move the Arvato agreement. The partner is not listed here, nor is MS as a partner. I run this tool. So it kind of connects to the Gentran DB, tries to migrate first partner, partnership created, his identity created, and I have an exception. Okay, I guess I got an older version of the tool. It would complain that partner already exists, which is fine because I had that partner created already. So if I go refresh this, I should see Arvato here. The agreement is also created. Okay, that is probably like an attribute that needs to be set. So I have the agreement which actually creates my MSIT with Arvato, and then it creates an agreement between MSIT and Arvato. So I have my test agreement now available from Gentran. I've moved it to BizTalk Services, and I can build over this configuration. Right. So let me go back to my presentation now that we've covered migration of both BizTalk Server and Gentran. The interesting demo is like gaining insight into tracking, right? How do I gain insight into what are the message flows? Think of it as saying, yeah, you had your self-service model, you had you have migrated all of your agreements from Gentran and BizTalk Server. Now the system is in production, but you want to be able to see what is the message flow. If there is an error, how do I react, right? So you can do that. There is tracking and tracing available. In the next demo, what I'm going to show is use Win8 application and be able to subscribe to alerts on any error messages, and you get your notifications on your desktop or your mobile phone, right? So you don't have to be always on the portal refreshing and seeing, hey, is there an error? That's readily available once you integrate it with your Win8 app, right? So let me switch back to the demo machine. How am I doing on time? Yeah, we still have two demos. Fingers crossed, I should be able to do it. So let me go back to my demo. I have a BizTalk notification demo. Might have to change resolution, actually. The projector resolution and the Win8 app resolution might differ, so let me try this out. So what I have is a simple Win8 application. So you just subscribe to the developer license, use the SDK and build a Win8 app. And what I'm using at the back end is mobile services, which is also on Azure. And using mobile services, I'm trying to read any error from my agreement, right? So let me first show you the agreement configuration. This is my agreement between Conteso and Northwind. Let me show you the receive part, which is more interesting. So whenever I receive a message to my endpoint, so if I send a message to this endpoint, I would process it using some EDI 840 message, transform it. I think there was a gentleman question on using transform. So I have a transform that converts that EDI 840 into sales order message and route it, right? So this is the same rule-based route that I showed in the morning, or we talked about in the morning in the multi-channel demo. So I'm routing a success message to another EAI bridge, right? I send the conduct type as XML, route it to an EAI bridge, and that EAI bridge has a BizTalk adapter service going into my on-premise system, which is, again, my laptop, right? So that's the success path. The failure path is when the message is bad, I actually send it to a queue, and I have my whole mobile services listening on to that queue, and it's going to send a notification back to some other system. Again, it's my own laptop, so I get a Windows 8 notification, right? That's the setup. So let me first start my client application, which can post a message to this endpoint. So let me bring up the sample application. So this is a simple RFQ sender, right? So I'm using an EDI 840 message. So I have a message sender, slightly fairly advanced than the sample one, where I have a UI which can send an EDI 840 message. I type in my details, say today, 1,101. Sender ID, receiver ID, right? So the success happy path is look at general settings and say CO, NW, but the sender in this case is NW. So I say NW and CO, right? This is the good guy sending the message, right? So it sends an 840 message. It gets transformed into sales order. Sales order gives it to EAI. EAI then gives it to my LOB system on-prem, and it lands on my SQL server. So if you've seen the morning demo, I'm going to query the same DB, and here you go. You see that 1,100, 101, which was sent today, being landed on my on-premise system from all the way from my trading partner to all the way till my on-premise system. But that's half the story, right? So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start my Win8 application, which is this. Okay, so this is an application that you have it on your tablet or your mobile phone or your desktop, right? You're not even seeing your SQL database at this point. So it shows a bunch of alerts already, but ignore that for a moment. The alert will appear at the bottom. You know, that's the way it's been designed. So this is my application that's running on my Winate machine. So now I'm going to run the same sender application, right? So this time I'm sending a message to Contiso from Fabricam. I'm going to use, you know, these are fields within the message, so that's the reason I'm going to fill this up. So I'm going to fake this, bad one and bad two, right? Doesn't matter. So I'm going to give a bad ID, and this is going to faithfully send that message to my EDI bridge. EDI is going to say, oh, wrong message, and it's going to give it to my suspend settings. There you go. You get your Windows notification saying, oh, there's a bad message. Now I can go into my application and refresh. You should see that 4 p.m. message, right? So, well, again, the time is based on where that whole queue is running. So I click on that and says, yeah, okay, the identities in the message don't match that of the filter. So you know now that where the problem has occurred, and you can go ahead and troubleshoot that problem, right? So that's the power of the whole tracking extensibility, right? You're not restricted to some view where you say, oh, has tracking enabled or not. You can use Winate application and do the settings. And for all of you in Europe, we heard your feedback on EDIFACT. I know I heard that from customers, from partners, and saying, hey, what about EDIFACT? You're showing X12. We heard your feedback. It is coming soon. Soon is like really relative, and soon is actually in the next few months. May not be GA, but I don't have, I can't make a promise here. But I do want to show an early demo instead of just saying it's coming. I do want to show a demo where we have Contiso and Fabricam exchanging EDIFACT messages. There is SendSite setting where you push an XML message on your send pipeline. It's an APRAC message that, you know, application error and acknowledgement APRAC message. Send it to the EDIFACT send pipeline. We have a batch that is defined with a count of 3, so you send 3 messages and comes out as an EDIFACT message. Fingers crossed, this is as of 2 hours, the build from the developers as of 2 hours, so fingers crossed if it works, but if not, I can always go offline and, you know, talk to you folks. Okay, so first let me log into that VM. So this is right off the developer box. How many of you use EDIFACT? Okay. Yeah. I would expect that. I didn't want to come to the Madrid event and not speak about EDIFACT at all. Okay, I'm logging into the VM. So the setup is fairly simple, right? So I have Contiso. Oh, sorry, I didn't switch the... So I have Contiso, which is one partner. Okay, good. So Contiso is sending the message to Fabricam. So I have the graphical UI is still in progress. So bear with me if this is slightly, you know, at the raw level, so to speak, right? So I have a Visual Studio environment that goes ahead and creates this agreement for me. So what it's going to do is it's going to clean up my local environment, a bunch of prerequisites. It's going to do some registrations, create the EDIFACT agreement in place, right? It takes like a minute or two. And I also have a sender application, right? Think of this as my client, right? The client is going to push a message. And if you're interested to know what message I'm pumping in, it is this. So it is an APRAC message. Again, the XSD is the same as what we use in BizTalk server. I have my D98A APRAC with all my UNH segments, right? I don't need my UNA and UNB, UNG, right? That because I'm sending a message, that will be wrapped up by the agreement and it'll send out, right? So the backend setup is done. It says send a message here, which is the URL that you've been seeing so far. So I'm going to copy this. Okay. And I'm going to come here. I'm going to use the message sender. Again, this is the same message sender that we ship as part of the samples. Just that I'm going to use message sender, give the endpoint name, and say what message I need to send. Right? I send this message to that endpoint, which is my agreement endpoint. It says success. But you don't see anything on the other end because I have a batch request of saying, hey, always send messages in units of 3. Right? So that's one. Let me send the second message. That went through. You can note on the tracking ID and all of that. Then I send my third message. And at the end of it, my batch should succeed. And there you go. You should see the EDI message that was received with the UNB, UNA is, of course, optional. So UNB segment with sender partner, receiver partner, it's BB1, AA1. And you can see, well, it's slightly hard to read, but I'll try to. If you see the UNA segment, the UNH, you should see 3 entries of what we entered, right? So you'll have D90A 5.1, here another 5.1. And you should have another 5.1 here. So essentially, it's UNH with 3 transaction sets of the messages that we sent across. So this is fairly in the early stages, right? I'm like happy that it worked. Like as of 2 hours, this wasn't working, and you know my developer out there like did some magic, and there you go. Edifact is actually a work in progress at the moment. So let's go back to the slide. So yeah, so we are hearing your feedback. So please do try out the preview bits. If Edifact is something you need, let us know. We are already working on it. Okay, so that brings us to the key takeaways. Yes, we have BizTalk services on preview. B2B is a key scenario on BizTalk services. It is simple. You saw that in the GXS demo. It's powerful. You can have richer capabilities. You saw that with the Winate app. It's also extensible. You saw that with the SharePoint Online demo. And we have partners who are going live on these and would urge you to try the features and give us your candid feedback. Bunch of links, again, where you can try this out. The forums are always open. You can reach out to us over email. We'll be happy to answer your questions. And the rest of the sessions that are coming up later this week. The one on the vision and roadmap is scheduled for 10 a.m. tomorrow. With that, I would like to conclude my presentation and open it up for any questions you may have. All right. Thank you very much.